say amen.
Amen.
Indeed, somebody this morning is knocking at the doors of your heart. And that knock sounds like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After the message, we will sing number 2 in our blue book as we prepare for the second round of this message. We've been in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Amen.
Jesus here offers an invitation to all of mankind. In the midst of your trials and tribulations, in the midst of everything that goes on in life itself, Jesus says, "Come to me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you a peace that will surpass all understanding." What a powerful invitation that the Lord offers to the world. And I'm reminded that when you study your Bible in the New Testament, you're going to find that Jesus offers this invitation on numerous occasions. And the person that accepts this invitation, Jesus has promised, if you take my yoke, he'll make your burdens light.
Amen.
The church, and I'm learning that in the midst of everything that goes on in my life, boy, I'm glad I'm a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to worry about a whole lot of things. Y'all do? I'm sorry to hear that. Because I know who's in control of my everyday life. Apostle Paul would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when this earthly house of this tabernacle will be dissolved, Paul said, "I'm not worried about it. Why? I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens."
Amen.
That's why I understand John chapter 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house,
yes, sir,
there's many mansions."
Amen.
If it was not so, Jesus said, "I'd have never told you. I go and prepare a place for staying." Oh, yes. I'm making sure that my name is etched on one of them doors. And you know how I know my name's going to be on there? Because I have committed my life in service to him.
Amen.
I'm not worried about anything else. I'm worried about that when he calls me, and I'm not even worried then. Because as long as I have breath in my life and my mortal body, I can say, "Father, forgive me." And guess what? It's this grace and mercy that's going to take me to the other side. So Jesus offers this invitation. And in Revelation chapter 3, and round about verse number 20, Jesus offers this invitation once again. As we look at these seven churches in the Asia Minor area, these seven churches had some problems. Amen, wars. And in this particular chapter here, Jesus talks about the church at Laodicea. He says, "I know thy works. I know you say that you're neither hot nor you neither cold." Oh, that's some good stuff there. How many of us are hot? Uh-oh, never mind. How many of y'all are really cold? Jesus says, "I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm." Jesus says, "And I spew you out of my mouth." What are you saying, Jesus? You make me sick.
Oh.
Amen, walls. Amen. So how does Jesus want me to be? Hot or cold? Well, what if I'm lukewarm? Mm. He said, "I will spew you out of my mouth."
Right.
He said to the seven churches in Asia Minor, but if I'm down your street, how you doing this morning? But he was talking about a group of people that were professing to be Christ-like, that wanted to do what God said, but they couldn't make up their mind. You ever had that problem? Ever had the problem of making up your mind whether you want to serve God or serve the world? Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for you'll either love the one and hate the other, or you'll cling to one and you'll despise the other."
Amen.
Choose you this day. Isn't that what the prophet of old said? Joshua chapter 24 and round about verse 14 and following. The Joshua came to God's people and he says, "If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the God of the Amorites in which your land, your fathers dwell in, or will it be the God of the Hittites?" But Joshua said, "As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord."
Amen.
And I've learned that me starts with me. And I'm learning that I'm going to serve God regardless if my wife my children don't follow with me.
That's right.
Because, you know, in the final analysis, when I stand before that judgment seat, I sure wish they could testify before me. You know, he's been a good preacher, Lord. Good news. They're going to be in the same line I'm going to be in. Yeah. And they're going to be looking for the same thing I'm going to be looking for. And that's grace and mercy based upon the word of God. But in Revelation chapter 3, as you continue to read, Jesus tells them that they're neither hot or cold, but he said, I would that you would be hot or cold. And even as he talked about what they wasn't doing, he still offers an invitation to them. Verse number 20 says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Who's knocking at your door this morning? You know how when someone knocks on our door, we peek through the peephole. If it's somebody we want to be bothered with, we'll open the door. If it's somebody we don't want to be bothered with, we'll pretend like we're not at home. Who's knocking at your door this morning? Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And you know, we're so sophisticated in 2017, but we got the door on our camera. Yeah. Oh, I can see you from, look who's coming up the driveway. I'm make sure I ain't gonna answer the door. Oh yeah, who's knocking at your door this morning? And church, and I'm being facetious, but you know good and well I'm being for real. Jesus wants us to either be hot or cold. He says, but since you're lukewarm, you make him sick. I'm learning, church, that Jesus is knocking at the doors of our heart this morning. And he wants to know, are you going to do my will, or is your will more important to you? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. To him that overcome, I will grant unto him to sit with me in my Father's throne, even as I also have overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Church, I want to encourage us this morning that somebody needs Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is knocking at the doors of your heart, and he wants to know, are you willing to open up? And if you're willing to open up, that's all you have to do. And I've learned something, that when you open the door to Jesus, expect something to come from him. Amen. I don't know about you, that when I'm down and out and you can't help me, boy, I cry out, Abba, Father, boy, and he sends even ravens.
Yes, sir.
He sends ravens to feed me. Oh, yeah. Church, I'm learning that the God we serve is so powerful. And the reason why we don't understand him, because we haven't tapped in. And we haven't opened the door.
That's right.
Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever will open the door, he said, I'll come in.
Yes.
See, in the midst of everything that's going on in these seven churches in the Asia Minor area, God stands ready to give them the power to overcome Satan and their devices. He even offers them the invitation. This invitation is extended to all of the world, and it's extended to you and I this morning. You open the door. But who really came in? You ever open the door and a thief and a robber comes in? Oh yeah. Jesus says, behold, the thief has come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He writes these words. John pens these words as he writes to the seven churches in the Asia Minor area. He writes these words to remind them, to encourage them, that Jesus wants us to be one way or the other. And if we've become hot for the Lord, is there anything we can't do? If we become on fire for the Lord, who can stop us? What can hinder us in our Christian walk? Romans chapter 8 and round about verse number 30, the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? This morning, God is knocking at the door of your heart. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, have you opened the door, but did you really let him in? Because I'm learning that when you let Jesus in, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. See, when you open the door and let Jesus in, he says, by this all will know what? You're my disciples. How? By the love you have for one another. When you let Jesus in some years ago, did you allow him to create into you a new mindset? See, when you open the door and let Jesus in, you will develop the mind that comes from his word. That's why it's so important that as God's people, we understand that God has called us to a much higher calling. It's just not a Sunday and a Wednesday. If that's all you got, guess what? That's all you got. But I'm learning, church, this is something that you must live every single day of your life. And when you live it every single day of your life, you won't have to ask somebody to let you in. They'll automatically open the door. Why? Because they'll open the door because they will see Jesus in our everyday lives. I want to encourage those of you that are not members of the body of Christ. You've heard God's word this morning. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe that this is the inspired word of God. John chapter 20 and round about verse 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe. Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible tells us we must repent of our sins. Luke 13:3, 13:5. The Bible says we must confess that he is the son of a living God. Matthew 10:32 and 33. Then be buried in water for the remission of our sins. And in that watery grave, that's when you have opened up the door. And when you open up the door, he gives you his spirit. And that spirit will guide and direct you in your everyday life. If you're here this morning and you stand in need.
The text is the same. Matthew 11:28-30. And we will, Lord willing, in a moment read that together. I always, when I seek lessons to preach, look for lessons that I feel apply to me. And I think this morning, more than ever, I'm preaching to myself. There's no doubt about that. But even as I say that and I look out in the audience, I'm well aware of some of the burdens that you brothers and sisters have in your lives. Many of you are dealing with very difficult things. And you're weary, I think, at least sometimes. I'm not talking about, sometimes we say I'm tired. And sometimes I am tired. But tired's okay, because you go to bed and you get up and then you're not tired, right? That's not what I'm talking about. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. I'm talking about being weary in your bones. And it's not just a physical thing. When you're going through some things that are hard on you, you go to bed and you get up in the morning, you're still tired. You're still tired. It's still hard. I'm talking about deep soul weariness. And we all experience it, at least at times, don't we?
Yes.
It's not the same for all of us. It's different. And there's different reasons why we go through these things. But we get tired. Now, sometimes we know. Sometimes I think, at least we know in large part, we can point to a specific thing in our lives, it's just given us a bad time. But you know, oftentimes we can't. That's bad, isn't it? We're just tired, we're weary, we're worn down, and sometimes we're not even sure all of the reasons why. Sometimes it's just an accumulation of things in our lives that we don't want in our lives. And that's the way life is. Our weariness is sometimes very complex, as life is sometimes very complex. Our weariness sometimes results from physical frailties. The physical can make us weary for sure. It can affect our souls. But sometimes it's emotional heartbreaks that we're dealing with. And sometimes, and oftentimes I think, it's the consequences of sin that bring us down. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think maybe when we can't put our finger on what it is, it's some of those things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the sin that we commit ourselves. And it's sometimes the sin that others commit that are around us that affect us, and we get weary. And our weariness sometimes surpasses our ability to understand it. We don't even know where it comes from. Now, because these burdens that I'm talking about are complex, and because they're not really simple to solve, simplistic cliches that we hear by many who don't understand, they don't help at all. People mean good. Cheer up. It'll get better. It'll pass. And that may be true, but you know, that really doesn't help much, does it? But a simple promise can turn things around. Now, I'm not talking about a promise from me or Stanley. And promises, you know, I could promise all of you that I'll write you a check for $1 million each when it's over here. And you know what? You really wouldn't even care. Because you know why? Because you don't believe in my ability. And rightfully so now. You don't believe in my ability to fulfill the promise that that check makes. You know you're not going to get $1 million even if I write you a check. That promise that I make to you is worthless. But Jesus makes promise in these verses that we're reading here.
Amen.
And if we believe in his ability to deliver, then that promise that Jesus makes is valuable. That promise can make a big difference. If we know that he has the power behind that promise, that he is reliable and that he is able to relieve some of the problems that we have, not some of them, all of the problems that we have in our lives, then that's meaningful to us. So in our weariness, God's Son steps in. He steps in. The greatest power in the universe steps in. And he gives a promise to us that's just as simple as it can be, full of hope, a refreshing promise that could fulfill everything that we want.
Amen.
He says, come to me. You hear that? Come to me, all you. He's talking to me. I feel it. And he's talking to you. Come to me, he says. You that labor and are heavy laden. That's us, isn't it?
Amen.
Every one of you.
Amen.
Work hard in the physical. And sometimes you work hard in the other ways that we've already talked about. He says, I will give you rest. Sometimes that's all we want. We want some peace.
Amen.
We want to be able to lay down our head at night and get up in the morning and feel refreshed. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. And we must learn from Jesus. We're not going to get this anywhere else. It's got to come from him. Learn from me, for I am gentle. I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Now, don't ignore this part, for your souls. Now, he's not promising you rest for your body. You're supposed to get that when you go to bed, right, and sleep. But he's promising rest for the soul.
Amen.
My yoke is easy, he says, and my burden is light. So let's look at the first thing here. Come to me, Jesus says. I can help you. The simplicity of this promise, it's striking to me. It's refreshing. Jesus simply offers himself. Think about that. What he's saying, come to me and I will give you myself. You come to Jesus, and Jesus will live in you. You'll never have to face another burden, another problem alone. No matter who deserts you in this life, Jesus will be there. That's his promise to you. He's the solution to everything. He is God. He is God. God is promising to come and live in you and to be with you and to help you. Come to me, he says. His simple promise implies that he has the power and the ability to deliver what he promises, to lift us up and to lift us out of what it is that's weighing us down. So what does it mean to come to Jesus? Many people don't know that. And I mean, I could say a lot more than I'm going to say about it this morning. But it's not just words that Jesus says here. It's not about just words. When Jesus said, come to me, he said, come to me and believe I am who that I say that I am. And that I am able to do what I say I'm able to do for you. That's what we call the truth. Remember, we've talked about this. The truth is Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. That's the truth. And so Jesus says you need to believe in that. If you believe in that, you are coming to me and I will live in you. I will guide you and I will help you through everything.
That's all right.
Here is where our burdens are tested, though. Think about this. We want rest for our souls. But let's admit the truth here now. We want the rest to rest upon knowledge. We want to know how and when our problems are going to be addressed. I want to know, Jesus, okay, I'm coming to you, Jesus. Now, when are you going to do this? And when are you going to do that? When are you going to fix this mess that I'm in? That's what we want.
Yep.
But Jesus doesn't provide those details. Jesus, he simply promises us that our problems will be addressed. He will give rest. And we need to have faith. Jesus doesn't want our souls resting on the how and the when and the where of it all. You know, it's kind of, we're so fickle anyway. As if we knew how, when, and where, we'd be able to understand it, right? Because, see, God works through his providence. Sometime I want to talk about God's providence. All that means is he works through the everyday things that happen in our lives, and we don't even see it. We don't even see what he's doing. We don't see God when he's fixing things. Sometimes we can see when things have been fixed, and we wonder how that happened. Sometimes we say we were lucky. We leave God out of it, right? Boy, was that, whoa, boy, I was lucky. Boy, I nearly escaped that one, right? No, God is with you.
Yes, that's all right.
He will keep his promise to us, and he will do it in the best way at the best time. You know, we sing that song, Jesus will fix it. When?
After a while.
Okay, be patient. Rest for your souls. You want a title for this lesson? Take a deep breath. Just relax. Say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Yes.
Our souls can only find rest in hope. Some people go to extremes over these things. Some people take their own lives because they don't believe it's going to be okay. You know what? They've lost hope. People that take their own lives have no hope left. They've exhausted all the hope that they've had. And that's what we really want, isn't it? We want hope that things will get better. When you're having your hardest time, you look to the light, don't you? You look for, it's going to get better. We believe it's going to get better. We can see that it's going to get better. That's called hope. We know that it'll get better. But when our souls are burdened to the point where there's no hope, people don't want to live. There is a way out.
Yeah.
There is a way out.
Yes.
Psalm 62, 5 through 7.
Yep.
For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is in Him.
Yes.
He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Jesus knows that He is the only salvation that we have. He is our fortress. He's the rock. He's our refuge. He's our place to go. He's our one and only hope. He's the answer to every question, concern, and fear and need we will ever have. And He simply offers Himself to be with us. You know, as we live on this earth and we look about us and we think of all of the things that we have, you know, our cars and our homes and our TVs and our educations and all of the things that we think are valuable, there is only one thing that you have. One thing that you have that you're still going to have when this earth is gone. And that is your soul.
Amen.
That's it. That's the only thing you're going to have left when you stand before your Maker. So what does that tell us? We need to take care of it. We need to put our hope and our trust in our Lord.
Amen.
The one who can do it as He lives in us. My last points here, I'm going to group them together. He says, take my yoke and learn of me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the yoke here this morning, but we could. But as I thought about this, there's some things that occurred to me. A yoke, by definition, we might not be real familiar with it because it was something they knew. They knew what Jesus was talking about. But by definition, it ties two beasts of burden together. Two. So that they can work as a team and pull together to do more work than one. Now, there is a device, I suppose you could call it a collar, when you don't have two animals. And you put it on the one animal. And that one animal works, and he does all the work. There's no yoke mate. So everything that's done, he does. And you know, Jesus promises us rest. So why does he tell us then, if he's offering us rest, why does he tell us to put on a yoke? Because let's face it, a yoke isn't for resting. A yoke is for doing work. The yoke is placed on beasts of burden, like we said, so that they can work together as a pair and get things done. And you know, that's precisely, I think, the question that Jesus wants us to ask. What must we do? What work must we do for Him that will supposedly give us rest? Now, Jesus is offering us, see, I have most of my life, a lot of my life, and you too, I've done the work with a collar. And that's hard. I've done it all, you know. Left Jesus out of it. Every burden that comes up, I put on the collar and I try to pull myself out of it. And you know what happens? I fail. I am not strong enough. Jesus offers a yoke.
Okay.
Now see, here's the thing that we've got to remember. Whether you take the yoke of Jesus or not, you're going to labor. You're going to be doing some kind of work. And Jesus offers a yoke, but something I learned about yokes, see, when you put them on the oxen, you're seldom going to find two animals with the same strength. You might, but for the most part, one animal is going to be stronger than the other. And so when you put the yoke on, you know who does the most work? The stronger one, yeah. So the stronger one's helping the weaker one. When we put on the yoke of Jesus, who do you think's doing the work?
Jesus.
You know, it isn't even the same. We're just little scrawny ox, right? There's this little guy. And Jesus is the strength. He's doing just about all of it. So when I think about the yoke that I'm wearing, you know, not yoke, collar that I'm wearing, my that I put on myself mostly, and the weight that I pull, what I'm looking for is an exchange. I want to get rid of this heavy thing.
Yes.
That I'm having to bear the load of sin, my sins. I'm having to bear the load of all of life's problems. I want to take the yoke of Jesus and have him be my yoke mate. Don't you want a strong yoke mate?
Amen.
To help you through it. That's what Jesus is promising us. Jesus answered in John 6:29. Now listen, we talk about the work, right? And how he offers us rest, and yet he requires work. John 6:29. He says, this is the work of God. Now listen to this. You want to know what it is? What is it that we need to be doing? He says, that you believe in him whom he sent. Work? How hard is that? Is that a heavy burden? To believe in him whom he sent. To believe in Jesus as God's Son. And then John 15:4, he says, abide in me. Believe in Jesus and live in God. Oh, that's a heavy burden, isn't it? No, that is nothing. That's the work we're doing while Jesus is right next to us, pulling and carrying everything else. He's bearing the load of all of our sins,
yes,
and all of the mess that we made. He's pulling us through life, and all we have to do is believe in him. Believe in him and live in God.
That's all right, brother.
That's our work. The yoke exchange. And if that isn't enough, Jesus makes it possible for us to learn from him how to live by faith. Now see, it is a learning process, isn't it?
Yes.
You can believe in Jesus and agree to dedicate your life to God and to live for God, and then the learning starts. But Jesus is right there with you, teaching you, so that you can straighten yourself out, because Jesus is going to lead you to the truth every time you mess up.
Amen.
Believe, abide, and follow his steps. That's the light yoke that Jesus gives us. That's what he calls us to put on. And he gives us so that we can rest our souls. Rest your soul.
Amen.
You can't put your finger on why you're tired. It's your soul. Your soul's tired. Your soul is fatigued because your sins are not being dealt with properly. You're not letting Jesus do what he designed his yoke to do. So, are you weary? If you're weary this morning for whatever reason, however complex things may be, let's simplify it just a little bit. Jesus invites you. That's what this is. He invites you to come and take the light yoke of believing in him. Believe, abide, and follow Jesus' example, and you will find rest for your soul.
That's all right.
It's going to be okay. Just come forward. Give your life to Jesus as we stand and sing.
Yes.